Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There is a lot in that verse of Scripture. What we want to do today is we want to simply give you some guidelines for Bible study while you are studying your King James Bible. I think there are a lot of guidelines here. And so I won't take a long time to comment on each one, but I want to cover it all in one lesson, because these guidelines are comprehensive. If you incorporate all of these into your Bible study, then it's going to help you to keep from getting sidetracked or help you to keep from becoming deceived about your understanding of the Bible. So let's dive right into the lesson and just start going through the points and seeing some things, very practical things you can do when you fulfill the command of 2 Timothy 2:15, which is to study to show yourself approved unto God. I think one of the most important things you can do is to read the whole Bible often. Read the whole Bible often. I would say no less than once through cover to cover each year. Perhaps it would even be better if you could read more than that, but I don't want to put you in a situation where, you know, you're choking on the word. So read the whole Bible often. Why? Reading through the Bible continuously really helps you to understand the words of God, because the Holy Spirit can bring to your remembrance things that you have read in other passages that shed light on what you're studying in a particular passage. In other words, when you read the entire Bible, you know what the Bible says about Moses, for instance, and you find him introduced to you in Exodus, but you also hear about him in the other books of that he's written. You find out how he died, but then you see him in Matthew, and you hear Jesus Christ commenting on him, and then you see him over there in the book of Revelation as one of the witnesses, and you're like, "What? Wow, this is interesting." It is, and as you read the Bible, and you're reading Revelation, for instance, and you see that there is a witness there, and you're thinking, "Oh, I wonder who those witnesses are." And then you begin to consider what God said to in Malachi about the keeping the commandments and about Elijah. And when you read about these men in various passages, your mind begins to understand, who these men are in Revelation chapter 11, and you begin to understand that they are Moses and Elijah, and that's because you are reading the Bible thoroughly. You're reading the Bible continuously. You're getting through it cover to cover often, and the passages are very familiar. They're speaking to you out of the various places in the Bible where you need understanding for the passage you're studying. Here's another thing you do, and this is very, very important. Pray for God to open the text. I think the great verse for this is Psalm 119 and verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Pray for God to open the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, will tell us that when we're going to understand something in the Bible, it's going to be given to us by the Lord. God. 1 Corinthians 2:10, "God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You want to understand your Bible? Let God open the text for you. John 16:13, another good verse for this. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." That's the Spirit of God. He will show you. He will guide you into all truth. So do that. Pray for God to open the text. And when you're praying, pray for God to give you wisdom. That's what you need. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Bible study is work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Bible study is work, and God blesses that work with understanding when you are willing to trust him to show you what the Bible says. So pray for God to open the text. Here's another great pointer on Bible study. Read the whole text in its context. In other words, when you're studying the Bible and you find this particular verse of Scripture or half a verse of Scripture, you're like, wow, I wonder what that means. Read the whole passage. Read the whole context. The context could be a chapter, maybe two chapters. For instance, when you're reading in 1 Peter chapter 3, and the first verse starts out, likewise, ye wives be in subjection to your own husbands. And he's saying, likewise, you have to go to chapter 2 to find out what he is saying in chapter 3. Because he's referring to something he's already said. You're reading along and he says, therefore, then you need to recognize that something he has said before is leading to the conclusion he has drawn in the verse that you're studying. So never lift a single verse out of its context to try to understand it. Read each verse as part of the whole chapter or part of the whole book in which you find it. And then you'll be able to understand the passage a lot better. We find that a lot of doctrinal error comes from people who lift a verse or a half a verse out of a passage and then form a doctrine based on that verse of Scripture or that partial verse of Scripture. And they are forming that doctrine totally without regard to the context in which that verse appears. Dangerous, dangerous. Don't do that. Here's another thing. When you're studying the Bible, consider the audience. Consider the audience. Whom God addresses in a passage often limits the doctrinal application of that passage. For instance, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, when Jesus Christ is delivering the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples, you know what? You got to be careful with that passage of Scripture. You have to consider his audience, because what he's laying down there is something that doesn't apply doctrinally to the church. If God addresses Israel specifically in a particular passage of Scripture, then the passage doesn't apply to the church. I'll give you a good example. Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. He doesn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What does he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is not New Testament salvation, because that verse of Scripture is aimed at the Jews responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? Because that's the audience and that is the context. Acts 2:38 is not addressed to the church. You look at that and you say, you were not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins so that you could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it was at that time that you were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Paul clears that up for you precisely in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. But these folks that are repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ are people who have asked Peter in the context. These are Jews responsible for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ who have asked Peter in the context what they need to do now that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and God has made him both Lord and Christ. It's a totally different question than was raised by the Philippian jailer. He said in Acts chapter 16, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, they answer the question, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is not the question that is raised in Acts chapter 2. Got to read the context and you got to consider the audience. It's very, very important for you if you're going to understand your Bible. All right, Bible study. Read the whole Bible often. Pray for God to open the text. Read the whole text in its context and consider the audience. Here's another very important thing to consider in Bible study. Determine the dispensation. You see, God deals with men under different covenants in different ways. No saint in the Old Testament, for instance, was born again. That doctrine of being born again was introduced in John chapter 3 when Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus and said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus, who was a master, didn't understand it because Old Testament saints weren't born again. They were saved, but not born again. Salvation for saints in the tribulation, as another example, is conditional because it's connected with keeping the commandments of God. So when you're reading the Bible, and there's not going to be any more Bible written than what's already been written, you need to consider the major time periods of the Bible to see where the text falls and what it's addressing. The major time periods are the Old Testament, under the law. The New Testament, church age, the tribulation, and the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the major periods. There's some others, but the major periods of the Old Testament, New Testament, church age, the tribulation, and we say New Testament, church age, as opposed to tribulation, because there are some New Testament verses that are addressed to people in the tribulation that don't apply to the church. Likewise, New Testament millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as you find it in the Old Testament. Not under the law, but under the millennial reign or the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to see that dispensation when you're studying a passage of Scripture. Now, transition books in your Bible between any two of these dispensations are therefore going to be where most of the doctrinal errors in the New Testament occur. All right? The transition books are Matthew, that takes you from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The book of Acts, that takes you from the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ into the church age. And the book of Hebrews, that takes you from the church age into the tribulation. Those are tough books, man. Most of the people who end up in doctrinal error find their doctrine, which becomes an error, in one of those three books. Not exclusively, of course, but Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews. That's where the trouble areas are going to be. So when you recognize that and you determine the dispensation in which a certain passage of Scripture is written, you look at that and say, okay, I got this. I believe I can understand it now. That helps you to reconcile differences of apparent contradictions that show up concerning salvation, for instance, in the New Testament. All right, here's a very practical thing you can do in Bible study. Define any unknown words. I mean, don't presume that you understand what a word means when you read it if you don't understand what it means. Look it up. Use online dictionaries or use published dictionaries or use an app on your phone. I think I've got a new Webster's World Dictionary on my phone, and I'll refer to it. It's an excellent dictionary. Look the word up when you do a Bible study. Now, sometimes, rarely, but sometimes you'll come across an obsolete word. When you do, go to Webster's 1828 dictionary. You can find it online. You don't have to have a hard copy of it. But make sure you understand what the word means. Don't just presume that you understand it from the context, although the context many times will help you to know what it says. Here's another one. Check the cross references. When you're doing your Bible study, check the cross references. Compare similar passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us exactly how to do this. It says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Because when the Holy Spirit is teaching you, that's what He's going to do. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So when you're reading a passage of Scripture and you look at that and go, wow, I wonder what that is, you'll see marginal cross-references. You'll see these little italicized letters, and they refer you to a marginal reference, and then you go and you check the cross-references. These can be marginal cross-references, or you may end up using a concordance when you're looking at a specific word or a specific phrase, and the concordance will show you wherever that word or that phrase appears in other passages in the Bible. And it really helps you to understand what you're reading. Here's another very helpful thing you can do in Bible study. this seems to go without saying, but lots of people miss it. Pay careful attention to every word. Sometimes people in studying the Bible are just looking for the message of a particular passage of Scripture, and they're not paying attention to the little words. The little words like if and no are extremely important words to consider in your Bible study because they control, you know, what that verse is saying. And I've seen people really, really mess up on the understanding of a passage of Scripture because they won't pay attention to every word. Okay? Now, after you've been studying or you've been in church a while, here's something else that you really need to keep in mind in your Bible study. Don't force the text to line up with what you already know. Don't force the text to line up with what you already know. One of the biggest mistakes you can make in Bible study is to force a text to say something that it doesn't say. Often, doctrinal error comes by making a passage say something that you believe rather than what it says. And I've mentioned this before, perhaps you've heard me, but years ago I had a friend of mine that came and wanted to start studying the Bible together, and I just wanted to find out, really, what he already knew, kind of, you know, what foundation he had. So I took him to the Old Testament. We read a verse of Scripture that was clearly a verse of Scripture aimed at Israel, clearly a verse of Scripture that was in the tribulation dispensation, and it was not hard, didn't have difficult words in it to understand. I said, read that passage of Scripture. He did. I said, now what is it talking about? He says, well, right there, that's talking about the trouble that comes to you in your life if you refuse to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Wow. The verse had nothing to do with the trouble that comes in your life if you won't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But because it had to do with tribulation, and because all he knew was salvation in Jesus Christ, he saw that passage as confirming what he already believed and learned nothing from what it said. Well, that just helped me to understand where his basic knowledge was, and so we went back to some very basic things and began to build upon those basic things. And of course, over time, his study, you know, drastically improved. But be very careful about that. Don't force the text to line up with something you already know. I mean, the Bible continuously teaches you if you continuously come studying what it says. All right, here's a very helpful thing to do in Bible study. Check commentaries or annotated Bibles for ideas. Now, be careful here. Men are not the final authority on God's words. God's words are the final authority. Remember, you're doing Bible study, not man study. Okay, so be very careful. If you look at the passage, man, I just don't know. Well, recognize that when you pick up a commentary or you pick up an annotated Bible, you might come across something that is helpful, kind of give you an idea, sort of jog your thinking, but you're reading what man had to say, and his comments are not the words of God. Be very, very careful doing that. And don't compare the passage you're reading in your King James Bible with something men wrote down with a translation in modern Bibles. And the reason is, going from Bible to Bible, I'll tell you what it does. It messes you up. It adds confusion and puts you in the place of God the Holy Spirit by forcing you to decide what God really said. Did he say what they said in the modern Bible? Or did he say what they said in the King James Bible? You got to be really careful with that. Don't use the modern Bibles to try to get a better understanding of what God said in the King James Bible. That is dangerous. Job 28:28, a great passage of Scripture. You know what he says there? To depart from evil is understanding. When you're trying to understand your Bible, it is very important to recognize that you do what it says. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. In other words, when the Bible shows you something that's wrong in your life, turn from the sins that are forbidden by God's words. Why? Because therein lays understanding. To depart from evil is understanding. And so God keeps teaching you as you keep allowing your life to conform to what he said in the Bible. What's another very helpful thing to do in Bible study? Be persistent. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The first part of the verse says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Be persistent. Don't give up, and don't grow weary in your Bible study. Study takes work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. It takes work. So be persistent. You know why most people won't study the Bible? Most people won't study the Bible because it takes work. You know why a lot of people turn to modern Bibles? Because they don't want to do the work that's necessary to understand what God said. They'd rather just pick up something man said and go with that. They'd rather read something someone else has studied for them. And that is a great way to be deceived. The Watchtower Society comes up with all the stuff that a Jehovah's Witness is supposed to understand, and they simply get up in the morning and open up the daily study from the Watchtower Society, and they just learn whatever the Watchtower Society said they should know about Bible study. Man, and they are so deceived because of that. Don't go there. Get in the Bible. Find out what God said. Here's another very helpful thing concerning Bible study. Remember, God's truths are simple and basic. By that I mean the simple answer in a difficult text is usually the right answer. I've noticed that when things start getting complicated, they usually start getting twisted. If a man has to use a lot of comment in order to teach you what the Bible says, he has twisted the understanding of the verse of Scripture and does not know what he's talking about. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. God's truths are simple truths. They're basic. Here's another very important thing about Bible study. Avoid guesses and theories. These are dangerous. Avoid guesses and theories. Why? Because you're inclined to believe your own ideas since they're original. Man, we've seen so many people get messed up here. They get an original thought about something they've read in the Bible, and then they go with that, and they're way off. Listen, if the truth has not been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit and by the words of God, then your guesses are going to be identical to what Saul did when he went to the woman with the familiar spirit. Since God hadn't shown him what was coming, he said, "Well, I'll just go to the woman with the familiar spirit and I'll find out what's going to happen, but I'll just get her to raise up Samuel and I'll ask him." Well, listen, Saul got nothing. And when people are getting nothing from the Lord and they think, "Well, I'll just guess," wrong. Don't do this. That's way wrong in Bible study. Let me give you one more thing, and then we'll review what we've discussed here today about helpful guidelines for studying your Bible. After studying a passage of Scripture for a while, if you still can't get it, then leave it till later. That's right, because God is the one that must reveal His truth to you. If He doesn't, then no amount of Bible study is going to cause you to get it. The disciples heard from Jesus Christ for 3.5 years that he was going to die and raise from the dead. They never did get the resurrection from the dead. They didn't understand it. And so when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and Mary said he's risen from the dead, they didn't believe her. Now, shortly thereafter, they realized, in fact, he had raised from the dead, and then they believed him. Well, the Lord's the one that opened their understanding to that in Luke chapter 24. The point is, you must wait patiently on the Lord. He'll show you what he wants you to know when he's ready for you to know it. And if he doesn't show you, then don't go forcing it. These are really great things for you to incorporate into your Bible study. And when you do, over time, you're going to see a lot of improvement in your understanding in the Word of God. Now, what are these things? Let's go back over them and just review the major points of what we've discussed in this broadcast, and then pray that God will bless your Bible study and help you to really start getting a good foundation, a good grounding, a good rooting in the Word of God. What's the best way to study your Bible? Well, first of all, read the whole Bible, cover to cover, and read it often. Second thing, pray for God to open the text. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When you're studying a passage of Scripture, read the whole text in its context. Don't lift a verse out of its context. Consider the audience. If God's writing something to Israel, then he's not writing it to the church. Be very careful about your applications there doctrinally. If you can, determine the dispensation. If God's writing something that concerns the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it doesn't concern something that the Lord is doing in the church age, when Jesus Christ is not sitting on the throne of David. So be very careful about that. Define any unknown words. That should go without saying, but a lot of people don't look the words up. Don't be lazy. Get a dictionary and look them up. Check the cross references. Go from your marginal references, go to the concordance, see where these other passages and words appear. Study how they're used in other places. Really, really will enlighten your understanding of the Word of God. Pay careful attention to every word that's in the verse. Oftentimes it's easy to miss the little words. Don't do that. Whatever you do, don't force the text to line up with what you already know. If you do, you will never learn any more Bible than you already know. You have to back away and realize, I don't know this, and the Lord needs to teach me, and he can show you things you haven't seen yet. From time to time, check the commentaries or an annotated Bible for ideas, but don't run there first. You're not studying what men had to say. You're trying to study the Bible, so work in the Bible. Depart from evil. When God shows you something wrong in your life, hey, turn from it and start doing right. God blesses that. To depart from evil is understanding, Job said. Be persistent. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in your Bible study. Do the work that it takes to understand it. Remember, God's truths are simple and basic, so if you're getting complicated, you're getting off track. Avoid guesses and theories. They won't do you any good. And if you still can't get something after some careful study, just walk away from it. Leave it alone till later. God will show you when he's ready. I pray that these guidelines will help you in your study of your King James Bible. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.